Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. Now, before I go any further, I just want to say a couple of things. One, what we could be doing slowly is building slow revenue here and there. What I'm currently doing right now through Anchor, the app that I normally use for each of my podcasts, every time you guys would listen to a episode with a sponsorship, we could be slowly building up revenue here and there. So if you know anyone that's interested in some of the stuff that I talk about, tell them to come right on down to the Ultra Nerd Podcast. And where you could be helping me build the podcast even further, putting food on the table, keeping those lights on, buying college books because they're not cheap, and flushing that toilet over there. The second announcement I do want to talk about is what I'm planning on doing is expanding the podcast idea further. What I might be wanting to do is to try to make either a YouTube or a Twitch channel where I'm basically Bob Ross and painting miniatures. I mean, I do have some miniatures that I haven't painted yet, and I think it might be interesting and fun just to do, and to also expand the name of the podcast, and to also build slow revenue here and there. And the second thing I do want to announce is, ever since I was thinking about it with the recent episode, Miniature Madness, I'm going to go over the episodes of the two miniatures games that I was talking about. Sorry, the two games in story and in character that I was talking about. Both of them being Warhammer 40k and War Machine / Hordes. So next week, what I'm planning on doing next Sunday is doing the story of War Machines and Hordes. For today's episode, I am going to be telling the story and the lore of Warhammer 40k. And I will try to get the information for the next episode as best I can. So for this episode, I am going to be talking about the story to the best of my abilities, the lore, and probably even the second half of the podcast, I'm going to be talking about which faction that you guys may be interested in. Now, note a couple of things. I am probably going to get a crap ton of things wrong with the story and the lore of the podcast in this episode. No, not the podcast. Of the game Warhammer 40k in this episode. So, for those who do take studies in the lore of games like this, I am sorry if I mistook anything. But basically, I'm going to try to basically bullshit it throughout the episode. And then I'm going to take in small details and small plot lines here and there. So, let's get on to the episode, shall we? So, let's go way back. Way, way, way back before humanity was even made. There are these weird amphibious-like creatures known as the Old Ones. And these Old Ones were basically, they knew everything. They knew everything, and they were the first of everything, and they slowly started to become immortal, right? So they started becoming immortal, and they started to also create other creatures amongst them besides just themselves. So the second creatures they started to make were the Eldar, and if I am correct, maybe, the creatures called the Necrontyr, right? So basically, the Eldar were these space elves, you could say, that are very high, very snobby, and they basically were discovering some things here and there about the Old Ones' technologies and try to figure out how to use them and how to basically use them for themselves. Where in their history, they also created these things called the Webways, where they could go into other planes of existence and out of other planes of existence as much as they please. Furthermore, there are these big-ass spaceships they soon created called the Craft Worlds. But things were not always so topsy-turvy, where we get into our friends, the friendly, the most depressing species out there in the group, the Necrontyr. So basically, Necrontyr were like this. Your average stereotypical goth guy, right? Or goth girl. And basically, they were like, ugh, everything sucks. We need to find immortality. So they soon later became interested in the ways how the Old Ones found immortality, right? So they went to them and they were like,
Old ones, hear our cries. Tell us the ways of immortality. Right? So the old ones then were like, no, fuck you, dude. Basically like that. So after getting angry that they are slowly dying from their own planet, and the fact that the old ones are basically immortal, they were starting to get a bit desperate of what things were happening around them, right? So soon later, they found this strange thing floating around a star, right? And they managed to invent this device that captures this strange thing around the star, and then contorted it and transformed it into something known as their own gods that they called the Catan, right? So basically, the Catan were these, like, we could call them demi-servant gods for now to the Necron tier. So the Necron tier were like, hey guys, can you help us find immortality? Everything sucks. We're slowly dying here and there. My neighbor Bill just died yesterday, sadly, and we really need to find immortality. And one Catan member by the name of the Deceiver was like, oh yeah, sure. We just need to do one thing. And the Necrons were like, anything, please, just tell us. And the Deceiver was all like, you need to give up your mortal bodies, and we need to make you metal. Oh yeah, sure, go right ahead, please, just psh. So after that, they became literal husk of their former selves. They have no longer any free of thought, and they have no longer any will of their own, because now they became slaves to those who were helping them in the first place. And the Necron tier were no longer the Necron tier. So now they became known as the Necrons, right? Soon later, they started something known as the War in Heaven. And what basically this is, where the Necron tiers were fighting against the old ones, and when the old ones started dying, they were like, oh shit, we're not immortal anymore, and we can be killed. Oh shit, we're not immortal anymore! So basically, the old ones were basically screwed, right? So the Necrons and the Catan were able to kill them off, and the Necrons and... The Catan, I mean, were able to literally feast upon their souls as much as they pleased. Whereas, in a meeting, the older ones were, like, besides just freaking out and running from one side of the room to the other side of the room, they were like, what do we do? So one of them got the idea of making something that has a potential of constantly keep growing and growing and try to outnumber the Catan and the Necrons, formerly known as the Necron Tears, to a point where they have the power just to, with pure rage, to destroy anything in sight as much as they pleased. So soon, with the power of the old ones, they created a beings known as the Quarks, otherwise known as Orcs, but we'll get into them later. So basically, the Orcs were these big, massive, dumb green monsters that all they wanted to do is just wage war on one another. And all they want to do is just smack things with one another. They're slightly smarter then, but I'll get into them later on in the second half. Trust me. You're gonna love them. But basically, they were called the Quarks, and they were like, whoa! We want to smash things, mate! Right? And basically, the Elder were like freaking out that there's like these robotic Egyptian skeleton guys currently killing some of their men and women side by side, and they're like, oh my god, what is happening? But eventually they found out about the old ones' technology and try to repurpose it into their own weapons, right? So with the power of the orcs and the Eldar side by side, they were potentially strong enough to even eliminate half of the remaining Necron tiers, including the Catan's armies entirely. Whereas the Necrons were like, wait a minute, something isn't right. This isn't what we wanted. You lied to us, you fuckers. And basically, the Necrons later turned on the people that they trusted, the people that they put their faith into, or gods, I should say, the gods that they entrusted, the gods that they put their faith into, but they realized that this wasn't something that they wanted, and they instead now want is to capture them, break them into several pieces, and to literally now kill all of life. But after when the war was done between those guys, the Necrons soon later went into hypersleep, and things were kind of alright-ish. However, let's just say this. The old ones forgot to put an off switch on the orcs, or the quarks, however you want to say it. And they started wanting to rage more. They wanted to go around, start smacking Eldar, start smacking old ones, start smacking Catan even more, start smacking each other, and potentially smacking my grandmother in the face with their big, massive, meaty claws. And they're like, whoa, we wanted more, we want more. I am killing my throat with that. But, and it sadly didn't even work so well for the Eldar, because what they did was, they did a whole type of, let's just say, debauchery throughout their entire life, and started breeding, like, freaking, rabbits, to a point where that whole thing, where they could have helped their species, literally ripped a new one in the entire universe, because through what they did is made a new chaos god named Slaanesh. And because of this, Slaanesh killed some of the power, almost half of the strongest Eldar gods to them. And it also almost killed half of the species of the Eldar race, where three factions of them were lucky enough to escape his grip on them. And I'll get into them at another point. But let it be known, there are those who were living in the webways that are now called the Drakari, aka Dark Eldar. Those who were on the craft worlds, which, like I previously mentioned, these giant-ass starships that are basically, I kind of want to say planet-ish, but not really. And the third faction being the ones known as the Harlequins. Now, they have a god by the name of the Laughing God. I can't remember his own name, but I cannot want to pronounce it to save my own life. And where they are protected by him, they're insane. They always love to laugh and kill people while they're doing it. And they're just basically clowns. There's a fake sound effect for you there. But let's get into one thing about what finally came up, which is humans. So, when humans started to breed and started building their own civilizations, they found out another breed of humans that they deemed as shamans, but are known as psykers. So, at that point, you're like, oh, cool, magicians. But when you realize it, you're like, oh, shit, something doesn't feel right. And because of these magicians, or psykers, as you would call them, they have the power, or the mental fortitude, not even to summon demons, and things were going south pretty badly during that time. And people who were psykers were being picked off sometimes, and some shamans were like, we need to change something, because something already here is not right. So what they did is something completely different. They bonded their souls together and formed a man, the myth, the legend, otherwise known as the God Emperor of Mankind. Baby. For now. So the baby of the God Emperor of Mankind was basically raised and born as a normal human baby. However, he was kind of different when he grew older. He began to learn more. He began to get stronger. And when he finally figured out that he was also a psyker, and his parent saw the visions of his parents, where they were like, the God Emperor of Mankind, you need to lead humanity into its finest. And he was like, awesome. Now this is going to be a good day for me. Hopefully nothing is going to go terribly wrong in my case. But, spoiler alert, it kind of did. Going further into his story, he kind of was basically like a shadow amongst humankind, where he would like spook little kids, basically make arguments against others, and pushing arguments against others, or causing small fights here and there. But eventually when he revealed himself, He led humanity to the best of its abilities. He led them to the stars, to conquer planets, and to spread his name of the power that he is able to bestow. Drinking a bit of soda there, my throat is killing me right now. After that wall aspect. So going on after his story, he was basically thinking to himself, you know what? I can't just be the only one getting into these types of battles. It's time for us to make more soldiers like myself. So basically, he decided to have sons, where these sons are not more or less come from a mother, but more from testing tubes, right? So after these chambers were developed and the children were born, these creatures known as the Four Chaos Gods were like, we're not gonna let you do that, and basically yeeted them across the planet from one planet to another. All the babies were now all across the galaxy, and he's like, you bitch! Right? So, for going on in his story, he was like, okay, Big G, nothing to freak out about. Your sons are across the galaxy, they're Primarchs, they're half demigod like yourself, but who am I saying? They're infants, they're gonna get killed. So basically he went on to a manhunt of trying to find each of 20 of his children. However, he managed to find 18, but going off of Wikipedia here, there was like 20, but only 18 out of the 20 were ever discovered. So this is each of the Primarch's sons of the Emperor in different orders. I'm not going in like alphabetical order, but I am going in order from the ones that I know. So there is Horus with his legion known as the Sons of Horus, aka the ones that are going to backstab him in the future. There is Leman Russ, the Space Wolves. There is Ferus Manus, with his army being the Iron Hands. There is Fulgrim, the Emperor's Children. There is Rogal Dawn and the Imperial Fists. There's the Salamanders with their Primarch, Primarch Vulcan. There is, Gilliman, who is a part of the Ultramarines faction. There is also Magnus the Red, aka Magnus the Nerd, aka my favorite, Magnus. And with his army being the Thousand Sons. Furthermore, there is the Sanguinius, with his legion being the Blood Angels. There is Lionel Johnson, with his faction being the Dark Angels. There's also Perturabo, aka Big Baby Perturabo, with his legion being the Iron Warriors. Going off from there, there's Mortorian, with his legion being the Death Guard. Conrad Kurz, with his legion being the Night Lords, which are... I'll get into them in the second part, but I don't want to be angry at them right now. There's also Logar, which his faction is known as the Ward Bearers. Going off from him, there's Corvus Corax, with his being the Raven Guard. And last but not least, there's two more I almost forgot. There's a Jarkate Khan, with his legion being the White Scars. Now, lastly, there is Angron, with his legion being the World Eaters. Now, what I forgot to mention, you may ask, these legions are otherwise known as the Space Marines, one of the Emperor's finest champions of them all, who are literally like super soldiers who are running in armors that no one should think that they should be running in, that could basically be a one-man killing machine as much as they want, and are basically here to rule the galaxy. However, that didn't go as intended. Well, it kind of did, but it kind of didn't. Whereas Logar was basically like to Horus, hey Horus, Dad called you a stink and a noob at what you did. And Horus was like, he did what? I am going to kill his ass and then kill his army and kill his empire and make it my own. And Logar was basically like, ha 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 ha, after he did that. So then became one of the biggest things that ruined the Imperium of Man and what the Emperor tried to do all year long, which was known as the Horus Heresy. So basically, this is what happened. Horus, being the Dick Douche Canoe son that he is, basically brought up a father's present that no one wanted, which was war against their own father, right? So he done a full-scale assault on the Imperium of Man and the Emperor, and killed almost a good portion of his own brothers. He killed his brother Sanguinian. Ferris died from the hands of Fulgrim, that bitch. There's also... You know what? On second thought, half of the sons were either turned into demon primarchs, half of them are either dead or gone missing. That's all I have to say. But basically, the big G was like, "That's it, Horus. I am gonna give you a spanking of a lifetime as the galaxy would never see." But I'm kind of on the fence about that because I don't want to kill my favorite son out of the rest. Don't tell any of them I said that. And Horus was like, "Oh, don't worry, father. You don't have to after I'm done beating you with my mace." Wait, what? So after that, the Big G had to do what he didn't want to do, which was kill his only and probably his favorite son out of the bunch. And after that, he was imprisoned in something known as the Golden Throne. And after that, he became a literal skeleton of his former self. That is the definition of, you need to pull the plug. He is basically a vegetable at this point. And he kind of is. He's a skeleton. I mean, he's up to this old kind of life support. It was basically really something that no one would want to go through. But however, going from his own perspective, the last thing that he wanted to be known for was a god, right? But that's what the entire human race betrayed him as, a god. And they build statues of him, they build monasteries, they build churches, and the whole thing went to shit pretty fast. Now, one more thing I did forget before I go into the second part was, I forgot to mention the warp. And that was basically the cause of what birthed Slaanesh. So, the warp is basically like your every emotion, your every thought coming to reality. And it's also pretty much like a to and from point across the galaxy anymore. And it's also known as the Eye of Terra because you could actually see it and you could see its monstrosities all the way from the planet. And it's able to like just tingle with you if you're ever in it too and make every thought a reality. So, yeah. Covering this world is, isn't it? So, let's stop here and I'll get to the miniatures / the armies, okay? See you then after the break. And we're back from the break. I know, folks, I did the exact same thing as last time. Two ads with the same video. Need to make the money. Need to flush that toilet. But, let's get on with the second half, which I will be talking about the factions, and you'll figure out which faction is best for you with their pros and their cons. Starting with the Guardsmen. Now, the Guardsmen are otherwise known as the Astar Militarum, and they're fairly expensive. A lot of their miniatures are somewhat expensive, but also they're probably the worst position to be in the Warhammer 40K. Because they're always the ones up front before the Space Marines get in there and start wreaking havoc towards the enemy. And if you'll face them in real life, it doesn't matter how much of plot armor you have, the entirety of plot armor would not protect you from the idea that is a literal planet of human beings ready to gun you down. And I'm not joking about that either. Like, you would be in the Astar Militarum on day one of your birth, probably. You'll probably learn how to shine your shoes at the age of 5. You'll probably learn how to put on your armor and take off your armor at the age of 7. You'll probably figure out how to build your las guns at the age of 10. And you'll probably most likely face your first orc army at the age of 15. Or 18. 19. somewhere around there, but I'm pretty sure that they do have the worst set out of everyone else in the 21st, in the 31st millennium, or the 40th millennium, whichever takes place. But all I do know is that they have not the best rolls. They roll on a 4-em up from what I heard. Furthermore, what they make up for it, the lack of like strength, physical strength and protection, they make up for it in huge numbers of miniatures and big guns. We're talking about like rocket launchers, we're talking about tanks, we're talking about walkers, we're talking about this, we're talking about that, and there's so many of them, it's not even funny. And you do not want to see what they look like in Armageddon, folks. But after that, let's get into one of the Emperor's finest, the Space Marines. Now, Space Marines, from what I heard, are basically meta right now because of their recent support. Furthermore, they're just pretty easy, and some would say that they're pretty much for a beginner, you would say. However, for some times, there are pretty questionable miniatures for them. Primarily one of them that makes them look a bit too chunky than others. Although they do have like a 3 and up, so they're a little bit more accurate than just the guardsmen. Not only that, you could basically, if you want, you could basically, like, say for example, make your own homebrew miniature of a Space Marine chapter, and that's great. Or you could basically paint a chapter of other Space Marines that exists, and that is actually really cool. That's being conservative. That's being creative. If you're like, oh, I'm not that fond of ultramarine blue. However, I am extremely fond of this other chapter that I found out about. You could do that. You could definitely paint that miniature in that way. And as long as it's like saying it's appropriating to like the Codex rules and it's up to par, I think. And when I'm aware of the miniatures right now, or like, how good are they? They are pretty decent. Like I said, they're pretty meta because a lot of that support goes to the Ultramarines. Because Games Workshop does love the Ultramarines and any other faction, I feel. Furthermore, like, they got their own other codexes for other factions that exist. Like, there's like the Iron Hands, there's like the Raven Guard, the Salamanders, and there's like the Space Wolf. The Space Wolves recently got their own update, which is interesting enough. So Games Workshop, just update the other few. But let's get into one of the other factions I just want to mention really quick. Is like, some of the factions have their own morals and their own ideas. Like the Space Wolves act more like wolves than dogs because some of their miniatures have like a little bit of a hybrid to them. Furthermore, there's like the Salamanders, which is all fire, and they're actually, out of everything out there, they're one of the most more humane Space Marine chapters than there is. The Boys in Blue, the Space Marines, the Ultramarines, they're basically like the best ones out there, and they get all the credit. The Blood Angels, from what I heard, is they were basically psychically linked to their Primarch before he sadly died. Furthermore, there's also like the Black Templar, which are basically the ones that are like, oh, you haven't said your third prayer to the Emperor? Well, that's okay. You could finish that third prayer out the airlock. Isn't that great? So, yeah, Space Marines, folks. Now let's get into the best of the best, which are the Grey Knights. Now, the Grey Knights are basically all psychers, and they're basically, like, old, if I'm not mistaken. And furthermore about them, they're really badass, not gonna lie. They're badass to a top. They have cool armor. They scave off demons like nothing. But the downside of that is they sometimes have to do civilian casualties because said civilian could be corrupted with demon head. And that is something that no one wants to get. But I would argue saying that from what I saw and seen in gameplay and price-wise, I would argue they're kind of all right to build your first, I want to say, baby's first army, because they're basically almost a jack of all trades. Like, they have a psychic phase, they have a shooting phase, I think, and they have like a melee phase too. Furthermore, they have like simple armor designs and simple coloring, because like I said, they're all gray knights, so you don't have to worry about like painting them in a certain way, or you need so many different types of paints that you would need. And their lore is also really cool too, because like there's like this one gray knight that has a sword, and it constantly keeps beckoning to other members of the party, or like another members of the group, and he's like, "No, I need to have this sword so I could save all of you," basically. Some of their miniatures are kind of silly-ish. Like, there's one called the Nemesis Dread Knight, and it's basically like a guy in like a alien-style armor suit, right? So there's that. Oh wait, I remember the guy's name. His name was Castellan Crow. Yeah, he was the guy with the demon sword that constantly keeps beckoning to him. Because they are so will of mind, and they're so mind tight, that they would not let any chaos into their minds, even if it's constantly keep beckoning him. Or constantly keep beckoning them, for a certain. And if you would put 4 space marines with one of them in, that one gray knight will most likely walk out of that room alive. And it's super, and their armor is just like so badass, it's not even funny. Furthermore, let's talk about the best of the best of the best, which is the Adeptus Custodes. The Adeptus Custodes are the guards who guard the Emperor of Mankind. Even if he's a skeleton, they would guard his ass for centuries to come. They're slightly taller than an average space marine, I think. I don't keep track of height, I just keep track of what they do. I'm sorry. Furthermore, they have like the best miniatures out there. Also fairly cheap-ish. Simple coloring. Gold. Blammo. Just save yourself some dollars on paints, because somehow paints are expensive. Don't ask me how. Furthermore, they roll up on a... Their rolls are so accurate because they're so good. And the best part is you don't need a lot of them. You just need like a few of them because they cover so many ranges. Well, probably not a psychic phase, but... They cover so many things that you would need in an army. They roll up on a 2. So even though if you miss, like, say, get a 1, you're still going to hit a lot of other shots from a 2 up. And that is really good. Now, let's get into one of my second favorite armies that I want to get my hands on, which is the Adeptus Mechanicus. Now, the Adeptus Mechanicus with, like, the Guardsmen are the other part of the Imperium of Man. However, the Adeptus Mechanicus follow their own laws and their own religion. Now, that is heresy, but they're also responsible for doing a lot of stuff for the Imperium of Man, like building most of their weaponry. And not only that, they have their own idea, whereas if they accidentally turn something off, it may never work again. Like, they have, like, these big, tall-legged machinery called Land Striders or Dust Striders or Dune Striders. If they're afraid of turning it off, they're afraid of turning it off and it may not work again. So they literally corral them like cattle and try to get on them without it running away from them. But the best way, from what I saw with them on from group of YouTubers named Tabletop Play, they are the basic definitions of a glass cannon miniatures, because they're squishy, yeah, but they hit where it hurts. Like, we're talking about miniatures that are like these giant mecha robots. We're talking about miniatures that are literal centurion tank human machine things. And I'm not saying that as a joke. Their miniatures are some of their miniatures consist of literal human machinery with a tank legs and a rifle plasma cannon thing arm. That is insane and slightly disturbing. Furthermore, they do hit hard. Like, they have those types of miniatures. They have, like, a ton of different weaponry to hit you. And they have, like, a crap ton of awesome miniatures, like the tech priests. Whereas, like, there was this one who's, like, the head of the tech priest, and he has, like, a multiple personality disorder. Or in his case, a multiple personality emotional disorder. Because he just locks it out there, and they're really, really interested in everything technology-ish. Even old-age technology. Like, they would start... like, if they were real, like, head into the future 2,000 years, they would look at our phones today and they would be like, this is an interesting device. It's crazy to think our human race deprived themselves from this type of specimen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very so.
And to be honest, that's kind of not a lie if you would think about it. Furthermore, they have their own thing called the Omnicile, which they believe is in living machines. So if they take your phone and they're like, we are going to revive this fine specimen once more. So if they basically like rub their robes in oil, they get the incense, they start saying a prayer, they start going things like hamana, 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 or like ooh, ee, ah, 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 ting, tang, wala, blah, bing, bang, bullshit like that, and it somehow works. It somehow works. I don't know how, don't ask me how, but it somehow works. Let's just leave it at that. The Adeptus Orotas, otherwise known as nuns with guns. Now, I don't play them, but they do seem interesting. And it's not an easy way to say it, but if you were an orphanage and a heavily armored nun with a giant-ass bolter that's not even as big as her body is your sister that's watching over you, you might as well be like, okay, don't, just be normal around her. And if she says hi to you, just like hi, you would probably be screamed because how scary she looks. And I'm not kidding, like, they are probably the most zealous group out there. And if you just say one thing, they'll probably scream heretic and purge you with fire. That's the most famous thing out of the entirety of the Imperium Man, is purging something with fire. Crazy. And also very disturbing. But from what I know is, they have, like, the ability, they have, like, really strong faith, too, to scave off demons off tabletop. And that is crazy. They have, like, their own badass machinery. They have, like, drop pods that land churches from orbit, which is awesome. They also have, like, organs that shoot missiles at your enemies, which is also badass. And I'm sorry, folks, I don't know that much about them, but all I do know is they do have pretty great stats, too. Furthermore, some of them do consist of pretty decent miniatures, depending on what you're looking for and depending what you're looking at, too. Because some of them are good, some of them are bad, and some of them are pretty cool, too. I heard that they're recently getting some support in a Drakari versus Sisters of Battle box coming in the future. So stay tuned for that if you're like me. And yeah. So that's basically a lot of the extras for the Imperium of Man, but there are a couple of others. Like, if I'm correct, there are basically, like, assassins for the Imperium of Man, which are, like, one of those types of assassins that you don't want to share the same room with, because they'll probably be, like, spider wall crawling on the wall on you, and you're like, oh shit, no sir, thank you, right? And they're just gonna be, like, all creepy. There's also, like, the Inquisition, which is there. I'm not sure about them either. I'm sorry. Don't know much about their shtick. But let's get into my favorite part, which is Chaos. Now, I mentioned a Chaos God by the name of Slaanesh, right? She/he/it is just one out of four other gods. The first one being Zeech, the Lord of Change. Khorne, or Khan, the Lord of Blood and Battle. And my personal favorite, Big Papa Nurgle, the God of Rot and Decay. And to the Emperor's eyes, and to the Imperium's eyes, they are the cause of... Oh, Slaanesh is also pain and torment and emotion sometimes. But we'll get into that. But as I was saying, the four gods of Chaos are the main issue of what the Imperium of Man and the God Emperor himself see as the main problem of everything wrong with the universe. And they've been around for a lot of times. And each of them have their own meaning, where it's like a coin too. Whereas like there's a good side, but yet there's also a bad side. Let's start with Khorne first. Now, Khorne is the embodiment of rage, the embodiment of battle, the embodiment of blood. Have you ever heard the saying, blood for the blood god, skulls for the skull thrones? They're referring to big man Khorne over there. And the thing about him is, he doesn't care where the blood is coming from as long as it's able to flow. So one of his worshippers could be like cutting himself as we speak and being like, I'm gonna get myself a head and a helmet of Adeptus Sororitas or the Adeptus Astartes in no time, boys. And then he gets brutally beatalized by a bunch of nuns with guns. But he's not just a man who would rather be killing his enemies just for fun or shits and giggles. He's also a man, or demon, as he is, that is more or less a man who fights... I keep calling him a man. He's a demon. A demon who fights for honor, basically. Like, he would never stab you in the back. He would rather fight you head to head, mano a mano. One is to go in, one comes out, and he would never do that to you. Stab you in the back, that is. And he has, like, the idea of the survival of the fittest, and basically like that, yeah. So, Zeech is also my second favorite because of the Thousand Sons. Now, I'll get into the Thousand Sons later, but Zeech is pretty much like the god of change, and he's always like conniving, scheming. He's an eldritch abomination, so H.P. Lovecraft theme-ish. And he would always have like this philosophical idea of when you ask him a question, he would ask multiple different other questions to that philosophical question. And he would just like to push and nudge people into certain things. And he would just like lie to you. If you say, oh, dude, do you have spare change for a 20? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, why not? And he doesn't give you the exact change. He would be like, you fool, right? But he's also change. And change is neither a malevolent or benevolent thing, to be fair. And he would give you the idea that if you join me, I promise change of this from your life. Or I promise that you would change from this current position that you're currently in. And that is the thing with Zeech. Even though he is like a conniving, multi-faced liar that will most likely lie to you and stab you in the back when you're not looking, he would also be able to change your current predicament that you are in, because he's also seen like as if like a beacon of hope, as if. Now, let's get into my personal favorite, Big Papa Nurgle. And he's basically stagnation. Now, I forgot to mention this with Khorne, but all of them have their own gripes with one another, and they don't like each other at all, and they basically try to fight one another to show who is the best out of the best out of the four of them, right? And whereas, like, Zeech is change, Nurgle is stagnation, and he doesn't want things to change. He just wants things to stay the same and rot away, right? And ignore that sound, because someone is coming down my stairs. Thank you, little buddy. Sorry, folks, that was just a little friend of mine. My little brother. But anyway, let's just say that Nurgle is stagnation. He is rot. He is decay. He doesn't want things to change. He just wants things to stay the same. And he doesn't care, because he would love you the same, even if you're a rotting corpse. However, he is, in a way, nature incarnate. Because, to be fair, you can't stop death, you can't stop disease, and you can't stop things from dying and rotting away. However, he is more like, I want to say, out of the four of them, he is the most like, I want to say, contentful god out of the four, because even though you die is a bad thing, he will help you, give you the idea that it is all right because your body will be out for a greater purpose. He will help you think that it is okay, you're gonna be better after this, I promise, even though that you're gonna be dead in a few seconds. You still have like a more contentful, more like a peaceful way of dying. And that's where it is seen in most of his followers, where they don't care. They're just living it up, even if they're like rotting and... Shh. Hey. Shh. Sorry, folks, that was a little Pomeranian friend of mine. One second, folks, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, folks, I just had to take my little fluff ball that is a Pomeranian outside to go to the bathroom quick. But, yeah, Nurgle. Basically the embodiment of renew, decay, and nature, basically. Like the death and fall of nature. Now let's get into the last of the four, which is also the newest kind of ish, Slaanesh. Now, Slaanesh is a messed up one out of the four, because she... I don't even know anymore. But Slaanesh is basically, like, all about that torment. She's all about that, like, lustfulness, too. He is also, like, all about torturing those for some reason, because he gets a kink out of it. And there's, like, drugs, too. There's lots of drugs. But also, he embodies, like emotion and content, right? And even though that, yeah, it is terrible what you do, but also, it's also, he is also, like, all about the party and party harding. And if you're partying harding and having fun, and if you're not showing any emotion or not having an emotion, those meanings and the emotion that you could be extremating could mean that you're having a good time, and the fact that you can actually have meaning with those said emotions. Because she's still messed up either way. But let's go over one thing about them as a whole. They all have their own unique demon army. Like, Nurgle has, like, his demon army that's, like, you see, like, organs falling from them. They are decomposing. They, like, multiple eyes. They're disgusting. But they're also very tanky and very slow. Korn is all about getting in there, getting fast, smacking it in the face with a chainsaw axe, or smacking it in the head with your head. Zeech is all about that wizardry. And Slaanesh is all about their getting in there fast and getting in there hard. However, they are and can be used together. From what I heard, it's also best to use them with a faction known as Chaos Space Marines sometimes. But for characters like Zeech, Zeech, Nurgle, and Slaanesh, they have their own psychers, except for Korn, because he's all about that melee, and all about that smacking. Furthermore, for those factions, they have, like, different unique characters, and their own unique abilities. Like, for Zeech is honestly my favorite. Zeech's demons are honestly my favorite out of the four, because he has, like, these creatures known as pink horrors, right? Now, what happens is, this is the cool part, because after you would kill a pink horror, they would split off into something called the blue horror, right? And that's the cool part, too, because after you would kill a blue horror, they split into something known as the brimstone horror. And that's, like, really awesome, because even though that you would kill one, more are gonna take its place without a doubt. And that's Zeech for you. Whereas Korn, it's all about smacking it and all getting in that melee range. Slaanesh is... hits where it hurts, but very squishy, very squishy. And Nurgle is all about slow tankiness. Now, let's get into Chaos Space Marines. Now, the Chaos Space Marines first started with Horus and his Space Marine Legion, known as the Black Legion, formerly known as the Sons of Horus. And not only that, they're basically Space Marines, but turned evil. And much like the four Chaos Gods, some of them have their own uniqueness to them. Like, there's Angron with the World Eaters. They're angry. They're always angry. And they're worshipping the Blood God by being angry and smacking others with their chainsaw axe things. Whereas, like, there are other ones, like the Emperor's Children with Primarch Fulgrim. Four of these characters are currently Demon Prince Primarchs, and only two of them, such as Magnus the Nerd / Magnus the Red, is one of them, and Promptorius, I think his name is also another one, and if you're seeing them, they're badass. But Thousand Sons is also another good one, which was my third choice for an army for Kill Team. They have, like, these Egyptian-like theme characteristics to them. They have, like, this blue with the gold, which is beautiful. and they have like different psychers, they have like awesome weapons to use, and it's absolute badass and very Zeech because it's all psyker and knowledge based too. And you can also use them with chaos demons too, I think. But still an interesting and beautifully army. But for the Emperor's Children, like, they're messed up mother humpers. Because they're very Slaanesh, so BDSM type of shit. A lot of, like, voluptuous passion to them. And drugs, too. Drugs. Lots of drugs. And the last is my first favorite, which is the Death Guard. And out of all of them, they're the only ones that probably still have their, what's left of their humanity-ish. Because even though, yeah, they're currently rotting as they're regrowing from decay and disease, and they may have, like, an intestine falling out or two, or maybe an eyeball hanging out, and they're, like, not even fazed by it. But Angron and the World Eaters are always angry. Fulgrim and the Emperor's Children are messed up mother humpers. And the Thousand Sons, they didn't have the best run because most of their armies are either turned into abominations, or their souls are literally trapped within their own armor and they're just literal walking dust mummies. So that's, yeah. But they're very Nurgle based because they're slow and they're tanky. And besides just their Death Guard, crap, this isn't the one I wanted. But they also have like a, you could call it a sub army for the Death Guard, known as Poxwalkers. They're basically a part of the same army, but the best way to use Death Guard, in my opinion, is filling your army with Poxwalkers, because they're gonna take the hits and be bullet sponges, whereas like your heavy hitters, like the Plague Marines, as they're called, are gonna slowly get in there and start dealing some damage themselves too. And that's probably the best way to play it. But hopefully their new sets and their new codex rules can give them a little bit more oomph to them for 9th edition. Now, I talked about Chaos, I talked about the Imperium of Mon. Now let's get into some Xenos. And no other better Xenos race. Just as quick, they're about the other characters like Death Guard, Thousand Sons. They are expensive, but the Death Guard easy build packs with the paints, your best option and choice to start getting into the hobby-ish. There's others besides just the Death Guard. There's also like ones for Space Marines and Necrons. I'll get into Necrons after some of the other characters. But let's get into the Xenos races, which one of them is the Tyranids. So, you know that you're like when you accidentally step on a bug in 5th grade, and then it becomes the 40th millennium, and then that same bug is dead-eyeing you and gives you, like, those, like, eye-to-eye moment, like, I'm here for you, man, and you're like, oh, shit. Yeah. Tyranids are basically bugs that just want to eat everything, and they're a horde army, so they're also expensive, and from what I also heard is that their army and their miniatures are also old, so there's also that, and sometimes hard to find, but also expensive. And not only that, they just swarm the field with Tyranid hives. So they sometimes have shooting phases and psychic phases, but they're mainly melee. They're all melee based because they just want to rip and tear into other creatures and devour others. And the crazy thing about them is that they could be able to stop and mentally connect with other psychers on other planets and other planes, so they could not get a way of communication or send out an SOS. And furthermore, they could just be able to rip and tear through other armies like as if they're paper. Furthermore, what they would also like to do is just mess with the human genetics, which is probably the worst and the scariest thing about them, is that they could just like mess with them and make whatever abomination they want, which there's a sub-faction known as the Gene Stealer Cult. Now, the Gene Stealer Cult is also my third choice, I know. Oof. However, they're pretty cool, though. They have, like, this type of Mad Max aesthetic to them. Like, they have, like, machines that look like they came from, like, an Armageddon age. Furthermore, they have, like, different, like, units. They have units that do heavy hitting melee. They have units that do sharp shooting. They have units that look like basically a human testicle. Trust me, I know what I said, and it's not that far from the truth if you've seen miniatures sometimes. And they're not that good on their own because they sometimes like to like pop in one area and pop out of the other, go underground and strike when it's right. And they're sometimes mainly used with other gene stealers or like other Tyranid combinations from what I heard. And honestly, not the best choice for beginners either. However, there's always options. Now let's get into everyone's favorite orcs. Orcs, 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 orcs. They are so awesome. They are so fun, honestly. But I wouldn't know because I haven't played against them or played with them yet in the future. However, orcs are really old. Like I said, they're like Eldarly old. And they've been a lot. They're big. They're dumb. And they just want to wage war with stuff. But their miniatures are really expensive. And they're known as the Green Tide, because all you see is like a ton of orcs on the battlefield, and there's so many of them. And they follow the rule of who's the biggest orc. Like, you follow that big guy over there because he's the biggest orc. Or if that guy gets smacked down to the ground by another bigger guy, you follow him because he's the biggest orc. And if you decide to this, and he's the boss. He's the boss orc. And they have like this British accent. It's so fun and funny. They're basically the more humorous army out of all of them. Their shooting is shit, because all they do is also start smacking things like Angron or Cornwood, but they have a 5 and up, so you have to roll either on a 5 or a 6. However, from what I heard about them is that if you manage to get a 6, you manage to roll that weapon attack again. So, like, say, if I have, like, a bolter gun and if I was an orc, I would shoot it, I get a 6, I could be able to shoot it again. If I get a 6, I'm going to keep going and so on and so forth. However, they also put things together that doesn't make any sense. And you're like, how does this work? Because it looks like just slabs of pieces of trunks together mashed into an abomination of a machine. And that's what it is. That's the fun part about it. They have like the imaginary power to think that something that should not work and make it work. I mean, hell, even if like the big boss is like, "Oi, lads, even though if we don't have our own jets, I have the best idea ever." And his idea is them riding on unicycles with a small jet rocket on their back, and all they do is going while flapping their arms like birds. Would they fly? I don't know. I mean, it would somehow work. And it would somehow work. I don't know how, but I don't know why. They have like the imaginary power that if it would not work, it would somehow work. They would paint things red because they think it would make it go faster. They would paint things purple because they think it's the most sneakiest color. And they would sometimes paint things blue because it's the most luckiest color. Even if they would paint one of their armors blue and they said, "Don't worry, boss, I'm not going to get shot." And even they get, and if a guardsman scenario, like in the beginning, no plot armor, all guns, and if they somehow all miss, if blue makes it lucky, then blue makes it lucky sometimes. Furthermore, they are all about that melee. You're not going to mainly focus on, from what I heard, on shooting phase. Instead, you're going to try to charge in and start smacking things. They're a horde-based army, and even though that they did come out with some new miniatures, they are still relatively expensive. And even, they do have a medic, but that medic is not going to be helpful sometimes, because if you fail your save throw or your healing throw, that you would accidentally kill that said unit that you're trying to heal. However, they do have some heavy hitting weapons, and they have some heavy hitting guns too. And the best part about orcs, from what I heard, is you could basically converge and kit bash anything with them. And that's awesome, because like I said, they put scraps of metal together and it somehow works. And it's awesome to be an orc, because you're just living life going whoa to one another, waging war with one another. And you're basically reproducing faster because you grow as a fungus. That's a fun fact. And it's scary to think, too, because the orcs would be fighting the Tyranids, so the Tyranids would be fighting the orcs, so it kind of works both ways, because one side, that's a big number, killing another side, that's also a big number, killing each other, so there's a kind of balance right there, right? Right. Now, let's get into the spooky, spooky skeletons that are the Necrons. Necrons, much like the orcs, they're the most oldest there is. They're basically, like, from what I can understand, T-1000 Terminators that are Egyptian, undead, and they hit where it also hurts. They all hit where it hurts, honestly, folks. They all hit where it hurts. But they're also annoying sometimes, because they have a special ability out of every other army faction out there called the Reboot Protocol. So basically what that does is that, like, let's say this. Let's say you have 10 or 5 Necron Warriors. If half of that army is dead, what you can do is you can roll that same number that died. If anything is a 5 and up, they're automatically back up. So say if I did lose half of my army, half of the 10 Necron Warriors, roll 10 5 dice, all 5s and up, those 5 armies are getting back on their feet. And not only that, they have, like, mobile infantry. They could bring the Catan, their trapped gods, into play too. I don't know about their dragon character that I heard about, but it seems pretty cool, and it seems pretty hard to kill in the first place. They have, like, mobile pyramids, and they're very slow, though. That's their only downside, is, but they do have some pretty dangerous weapons too, and some pretty badass miniatures too. Some of their melee phases are extremely good from what I heard, too. And so, yeah. Necrons. Now, let's get into the bane of the universe existence. And the ones that messed it up. Which are the Eldar. Now, the 3 Eldar are pretty different. The first Eldar, but they have all the same ideas. And that idea is getting in there, attacking, and going right back to cover. So it's pretty much like your one friend that's basically going over your shoulder, poking you on the opposite shoulder, and quickly turning away and being like, what was that? Right? That's Eldar in a nutshell for you. But the Eldari are pretty different of what they have, because, like, for the original Eldar, they do have their own melee weapons, they do have their own vehicles, and they do have their own things. Like, they have one type of thing that's like a craft world, and they're basically like these robotic ancient machines that are, the best way to describe them are bowling ball cones with heads, for heads with a skeleton body, and that's basically it. But they're really disgusting, because I remember seeing one YouTuber by the name of Midwinter Minis face against them with a army of Chaos Space Marines. I'm pretty sure the guy that was playing Eldar in Craft World did not lose a single miniature. That's how powerful they are. And now let's get into the Drakari, which are the more disgusting batch. Now, what I forgot to mention in the lore aspect of it is the Drakari have a way of not getting eaten alive, or, like, burned into ash and then eaten alive by Slaanesh, is to give his sensation of torture upon others. And now, these guys are arguably the more messed up ones than the Emperor's Children or even Slaanesh, because what they would do is, if they capture you, they wouldn't let you go, and instead they would torture you from 6 ways to Sunday. They would morph and contort you into this type of, like, non-human entity anymore. They would basically make you a trophy. They would basically do unspeakable things to you, too. With drugs, too. Lots of drugs. Lots of drugs. And they would and when they're done with you, if they're bored, they basically would, like I said, they would morph you into probably a nice couch. Or a trophy, basically. And that's, they are really messed up motherfuckers. They really are. And they're the same aspect. but like three different ways of playing them from what I've seen. There's like the homunculus version, there's like witches, and there's like the standard foot soldiers, but they're same aspect, different aesthetic. They want to get in there and they want to attack and they want to get right out of there and into cover, right? And now leads us to the Harlequins, which basically murderous space clowns. They jump, they dance, and they fly into the battlefield with the utmost grace while swinging swords and blasters at their enemies with the utmost of elegance. But I want to know, probably it's disgusting, probably also annoying to deal with, and also very hard to play for a beginner as well. But Harlequins are honestly one of those I'm honestly interested in, and I really want to try to get my hands on them to make a kill team of Harlequins for myself, and maybe for basically my friends being like, okay, Zane, this is the last time we're going to play with you if you're going to keep playing with Harlequins. This is how bad it's getting anymore for us. Yeah. I want to be that guy. However, let's get into one of the most newest and probably youngest factions in the 40K universe, which is the Tau. Now, do you like Gundams? Do you like big, badass machines? Do you like sniping your enemies at afar? I lost my train of thought, sorry. I remember my train of thought, yeah. And do you like just gunning down your opponent before they even get near you? If you said yes to any of these, then the Tau are for you. The Tau are honestly one of the most youngest races out there. They were seen as like these dumb aliens that wouldn't do anything with much less a stick than an actual army. But next thing you know, like a quick snap out of nowhere, and they're like a superpower anymore. And that is crazy. They have like these giant ass mechas that have a crap ton of guns, and they would most likely like fade out the sun with just barraging you with missile launchers. But their melee is literally the epitome of a wet noodle. They cannot melee for crap. Even if they try, you would probably not even feel anything. Even if they try to punch you somehow, even though if that did hurt you, it would probably make them break a finger or two. I don't know. Is that true? Maybe. I'm not sure. But what the Tau lack in melee, they make up for it in gunfire. Lots of gunfire. They have drones that could protect them. Just like come out of nowhere, protect them, shield them. They have other drones that could basically snipe you from afar. They basically have other drones that are basically turrets and also shoot at you from afar. But there are some units for Tau that do get up in there, like a Farsight Enclave that basically get in there, get your basically game end your entire units like nothing, but mostly your entire time is basically going to be sitting at ease in the back while you have a giant ass Gundam mecha robot shooting a giant ass laser cannon at your enemy as if it was just playing a little mobile game, like, ah, shit, he's moving up front, boop, just place down a giant ass mecha and be like, ah, sit back and relax, right? And yeah, that's basically the Tau. Some of their units are kind of confusing because some of them are cheap, some of them are not, but they are kind of expensive-ish. Your main focus when looking at them is going to be drones. Lots of drones, from what I heard. And just as quick, because this type of faction is more or less a literal flip-flop, which are both Imperial Knights and Chaos Knights. Now, Imperial and Chaos Knights, basically almost the exact same thing, just opposite size from one another. So basically, all you need to know is, do you want a giant ass robot that could tower its city in just one firepower? Well, that's the Imperial and Chaos Knights. They're heavily armed, big, giant ass robots for both Chaos and for the Imperium. and all they love to do is just deal the damage. They're tanky as hell. That's about it. So, before I end the stream here and end the podcast. Before I end the podcast here, I just want to say you guys could be able to follow me up on Twitter for more hints and ideas for the Super Nerd, for the Ultra Nerd podcast at SuperNerd163. You could follow me on Instagram now. You could listen to my previous episodes that I talked about. You could listen to like the Games for the Memory where I talked about some games like Invisimals and Fossil Fighters for that series. Or you can listen to like other series I've done like D&D Story Times. I need to get another episode out. Or like the other recent episodes that I talked about or made. And support me through that by just listening to some of the episodes I've done. And furthermore, I would like to thank my listeners for today. I would like to thank my sponsor, as always, Anchor. And last but not least, I need to say one thing. Remember, folks, geek is fleek. And have a beautiful night, everyone.